The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and then trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, and that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So I spent last week at Luther Ridge. I took a week's vacation from here to go and be the chaplain for Music Week at Luther Ridge, and it was a pretty remarkable experience. And while it was not exactly a vacation like sitting on the beach might be, as I preached 8 sermons and taught 4 Bible studies, it was very nourishing. It was almost like continuing education, really. I learned so much, and as the Spirit would have it, I stood as witness to lots of sowing and seeds and soil. So Jesus says, be good soil. He describes the other kinds of soil, rocky ground and thorny, weedy ground. Rocky ground just can't nourish the seeds. It just can't hold the roots solidly. And the ground that is also home to lots of thorns and weeds. The seeds might sprout quickly, but they get choked and the nourishment is stolen by the weeds. So Jesus says, good soil hears the word, understands it, and bears fruit because of it. Every time we read this parable, we know that we are to be good soil. We know because we didn't even need a preacher to tell us, because Jesus told us what the parable meant, right? So it's clear what God wants from and for us in this parable, to receive the word, to understand the word, and to bear fruit because we have received and understood the word. The fruit that we are to bear is the kind of life that bears justice and mercy and provision and unity for the world. There's really no mystery about what God wants for us. The mystery is, so then how do you do it? Last week, I saw a very clear example of the living out of this call of Jesus for us to be good soil. Joseph came up to me the very first night, stuck his hand out, and said, "Last year we had Pastor Kevin, and this year we have you." I said, "You know, I know Pastor Kevin, and he's pretty wonderful, and I'm so glad I get to be here this week. I know we'll have a good week together." And when I said that to him, I knelt on one knee so I could see his 4-year-old eyes. Joseph's grandparents brought him to Music Week when he was 3, and again this year now that he's 4. At Music Week, there was a choir for the tiny ones like Joseph, where they learn songs, and they learn musical terms like note and rest, and how to watch the director for cues about when you're supposed to start singing and when you're supposed to stop singing. And you know, those choir directors had to tell them to stop talking in between the songs too. So while Joseph was at his rehearsals, Joseph's grandparents were at their rehearsals. He was too little to stay in the cabins with other campers and counselors, so he stayed with his grandparents in their room at night, which meant that we had him each day for morning worship, which was before breakfast, and then after breakfast he would go off with his campers. And then we also had him every evening for our worship, which was after dinner each night. People greeted him every time, not as some kid who was tagging along with his grandparents, but just as a member of our worshiping community. He walked around with his hand out during the passing of the peace, and he greeted other people with the peace of his Lord. When we remembered our baptism, he came up for a fresh, wet cross on his forehead. And because he'd been paying attention as the people before him in line had come up to me, his lips formed the words as I said them and looked him in the eye, "You belong to God." Another morning when I offered them the opportunity to come forward and be anointed in the name of Jesus, the good shepherd who had come that they might have abundant life, Joseph came forward. When I had invited them forward, I had said that I had olive oil, and that it was just olive oil, which is a gentle oil, and it wasn't scented with anything, so they could, if they had sensitive skin, they could know that there was no irritant in it. Or if they had really sensitive skin and they couldn't risk the oil, that they should just come up for the words, the anointing words. So I knelt to anoint Joseph, and he said, "Pastor Jennifer, I don't know if I have sensitive skin." So out of the corner of my eye, I saw his grandfather nod that it was okay. So I told him that this was very gentle oil and I wasn't going to use very much. And I anointed Joseph in the name of Jesus. Joseph was nourished this week. He was welcomed and respected and befriended by more than 100 adults. And the community in which he felt safe and welcomed quite literally never stopped singing about God's love. So the Music Week participants were good soil. They were good soil for Joseph to learn about being good soil. And the Music Week participants planted seeds in Joseph as he received the word and understood it and bore good fruit. And Joseph planted seeds in us all week long. In watching him, we learned better how to be good soil. This call to be good soil is important, but sometimes we need to be in some good soil for a while, if this makes sense, in order to be nourished so that we could be good soil. Maybe we need to be with others who are practicing being good soil so that we can be good soil, so we can receive the seed and understand and bear fruit. There's another reason why the church is so vital. While the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit very well can speak to you individually, I know it happens sometimes in very specific ways because some of you have told me about times when it has happened. But most of the time, God comes to us in community, in other people. It happened our first Wednesday of Wonder a couple of weeks ago. It's going to happen again this week as we gather in community. Our corporate worship that we have is a time where we are present for one another, being good soil and to receive the word, but also being good soil for our pew neighbor, if that's what it's called. Our neighbors in these pews may just need some nourishment to be good soil. Maybe their pH balance is off, right, Eileen, my farming friend? In order to be healthy and ready to receive and nourish a seed, a word from God, we often need each other. But also, you might be just what someone in your pew needs that day. For the nourishing of their soul, of their soil, readying them to receive the word. If there's nothing that you individually do, no certain word you speak to another human while you're here, a specific message or anything, you affect us by being here, your body in this room, being here, singing along, your voice in the chorus of voices who confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves, and who later confess that we believe in the mystery of the Trinity. You are nourishment for others by your presence here. You know that that's true because you come here and others nourish you. This week I was in the company of the finest of singers, the finest of musicians. If you just want to know what heaven's like, you go into the dining hall and Pastor Tim says, oh, let's sing the doxology. And the whole place sings in however many parts of harmony are possible. In our worship, it happened many times that I stopped singing during a hymn because I was listening to the gift that I was being given by being in that space, the harmonies and the bass tones, and they sang out these praises to God, and they nourished me. I was receiving the word and understanding it while they sang to me rather than just with me, which is usual. I would invite you to take a verse off now and then. Listen to the sung word of God, sung by your sisters and brothers. Receive that gift from them. God offers us many ways to be nourished so that we can be good soil, ready to receive the word, to understand it, and to bear fruit according to it. In a few minutes, we're going to come to this table. And Christ himself will balance our pH. Christ himself will nourish us. And as we leave this altar and this room and this gathering and this building, God's Spirit will help us be what Jesus has asked us to be. The Spirit will do that because it is a promise, and God keeps promises. One of the promises God has kept to us is leadership in the church. The church remains, and the leaders come and go. You've had how many pastors since you've been a member here or were born here or whatever. And right now we have a change in our youth director leadership. And that's a gift that God promises, that God will place in our world the people that we need. And so as we said goodbye to Sam, which was heartbreaking, we now say hello to Jessica, which is a gift. And so I would invite Jessica and Stan forward, and we're going to install Jessica as our youth director here at Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. Come on up. You're going to need this while you introduce her. I'll get to your side.
So we've all heard in our lives that blessings come in many forms. A few months back, Sam was engaged to Athena, and Athena found out she was going to Berkeley to seminary, and we knew they were going to be moving. So panic sets in me, because I know that as council president, as leader of this congregation, that we have to find a new youth director. So we went to the proper avenues. We put ads in newspapers, which is old school. We put ads online. And we got a flurry of resumes, probably 12 to 15, but no viable candidates, really. We got resumes from Texas and Florida, and I'm thinking, for the salary we're offering and you're going to move from Texas, let's rethink that. So then the activity kind of died down, and Amy, the church secretary, emailed me one day, and she had gotten this random email from the Baptist minister of First Baptist Church in High Point, that he knew of someone that may be the perfect fit for what we were looking for, and could he please share the information with her? And so the roundabout course, Pastor Jennifer actually emails him and talks to him, and he was actually in seminary with Pastor Jennifer in South Carolina at the Lutheran Seminary. So that's a Baptist minister for you. So we were like, absolutely. And so today, this is a blessing in this shape and this form for this congregation. Jessica Jansen is from upstate New York. She has lived in the area for over 20 years now. She is actually the program coordinator for youth at the YWCA here in High Point. She's worked for the YMCA for 9 years and now with the YWCA for 4 years. She has two children. She has a son, 17 Maxwell, and a daughter, 19 Lily. She's also the parent of a dog and a cat. And I asked her what she does in her spare time, and she said she didn't have any. On her Saturdays off, she volunteers for the VIP program, which is for visually impaired people in the area. We are so very blessed and very fortunate, and through this convoluted path and turns and twists that this road has taken, it has led Jessica to our congregation, and we could not be more blessed. She met with the personnel committee and Pastor Jennifer while I was traveling, and I heard nothing but wonderful things, and then the church council met and discussed, and we are so thankful to have you in our midst. And, the kids, they're a wonderful group of kids, and you're going to love them, and they're going to love you. And so, welcome to Emmanuel.
Thank you. That's fine. You can be seated. Jessica, you have been called by God and chosen by the people of God for leadership in the church. This ministry is a blessing and a serious responsibility. It recognizes your special gifts and calls you to work among us and for us. In love, we thank you for accepting your obligation and challenge you to offer your best to the Lord, to his people, and to our ministry in the world. Live a life in Christ and make him known in your witness and your work. Do you this day acknowledge yourself a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, answer, I do. Will you devote yourself to the service of God in the world? If so, answer, I will. Will you so live that you enable this church to be a people of love and peace? If so, answer, I will. Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the task for which you have been chosen? If so, answer, I will. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your blessings upon your servant Jessica. Grant her grace to give herself wholeheartedly in your service. Keep before her the example of our Lord, who did not think first of himself, but gave himself for us all. Let her share his ministry and consecration, that she may enter into his joy. Guide her in her work, we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.